Parshas Naso, everybody. We're going to go into a part of the Parsha that I was really confused about for quite a few years, and I'm not so sure I still have it, but I'm at least going to give some answers for it now, and we'll see what we can do with it. Pasuk says in Perek Hey, Pasuk Chavchas, V'imlo ne'ma yishavu torahi, if the woman was not Tame, and in fact was Tahor, the Nixa, she'll be clean, V'nizra Zara, and she'll be Zocha to have a child. She's going to end up having a child from this situation. Now, the entire Parsha here is a massive Chiddush. The whole thing is a huge Chiddush. The woman obviously committed a questionable act. She had been over on the Isser of Yichud after her husband had already warned her not to be together with this guy, not to be near this guy because of past suspicions, because of issues that they might have had. Now, she's able to either admit her sin, admit that she had done something wrong, that's one thing she could do, or if not that, accept to get without a ksuva and just be done with it, she's no longer married to the guy, or prove her innocence by going to the Beis HaMikdash, drinking the sota water, that bitter water, and show the world that she may have been in seclusion with someone, but she didn't go any further than that. She went in seclusion with the guy, but she didn't go any further. That's one of those two that she's able to do. It's a crazy process. The concept that we're literally relying on a miracle to happen for her to blow up in order to prove that something is for real. Our pasuk gives an additional promise, and the additional promise is even better. It seems to work that if you read this kipshuto, this is what happens. If she's found to be Tahor, she's going to have a child with her husband. She's going to end up having a child. Obviously, there are some kinks that need to be worked out in this marriage. That's obvious, right? He suspected her wrongly, right? Clearly, she was in seclusion with a guy after being warned not to do so. But the Torah is promising everything's going to work out well. You won't have to worry about all this. Everything's going to be fine. They're going to find peace with one another, culminating in a baby being born at the end of everything. That's V'nizra Zara. There's a lot to talk about with this. Rav Sternbach asks in his Sefer Tam Vidas, says, why is she being rewarded at all after doing something which is definitely questionable at best, but for sure an Isser? She was over on the Isser of Yichud. There's no question about that. So granted, she may not have been together with the guy, but she still was over on the Isser of Yichud. Why in the world are we allowing this to be that all of a sudden she gets rewarded? A reward for what? A reward for doing something which is bad? A reward for doing something evil? And the answer is, says Rav Sternbach, it shows you the power of busha, what it means to absolutely be embarrassed. When a person is embarrassed, they get a full kapara as if they didn't do anything wrong. They worked on themselves and they did something about it. That utter embarrassment that a person feels, and I'm sure everybody here has felt before, it's almost as if there's a death involved. And a death involved is a pure kapara. When there's a pure kapara over here, she gets a bracha through that embarrassment, and therefore the drink becomes a bracha for her. It becomes something even better because of what she worked on, because of what she did. This turns into something different. It's a true statement for everybody. When you get embarrassed, if you get embarrassed, use that as a massive catalyst to become better. You can use that as a bracha. Granted, it happens. Somebody made fun of you. Somebody said something stupid to you. Somebody did something that made you feel horrible. Use that as a springboard. You can become greater from that, because only from there was the woman able to have a child. You can use this yourself, and you can do it yourself as well. It's really based on an Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says that the bracha here is in the chus of the tremendous shame she went through. They had to undo her hair covering in public in front of everybody in the Beis HaMikdash. They had to tear her clothing, to which she may have been standing there almost naked down to her stomach, in order to show what this girl had done. She's standing there in the Beis HaMikdash. This is a tremendous busha, a shame that she went through. Says Ibn Ezra, the process is now ready to move forward. Now she's able to get over it. She could become a different person, a completely different person, if she was innocent from all these wrongdoing. Divrei Muster in Simon Mem Aleph, Maimer Mem Aleph, says an unbelievable thing. Granted, she did something terrible, but I want you to think about this. She did something terrible. She went against her husband. She went into seclusion with this guy for more than the amount of time, like 7, 6, 7, 8 minutes. She was in a room with this guy alone, but she didn't sin. At the end of the day, once she drinks the sota waters, she didn't sin. She was in a hotbed of taiva. She was sitting there in a situation where she shouldn't have come out innocent. It shouldn't have happened that way. That's not normal for a person to come out from that and not have sinned. And she made sure not to sin. She said no. She wasn't going to do anything. Even though she still did something wrong, it's an amazing fact that she didn't do anything worse than that. And for that, she gets a reward. She ends up getting a bracha. I mean, to think of this. Granted, there are people that have done things that are wrong, but never knock a person down when they could have done something worse and they didn't. Quite often we see people and we're just like, well, you did X. You did X. But the truth is, we should look at it and say, yeah, you did X, but you didn't do Y and Z. I'm not saying you should reward that person. That's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and let him deal with that. But it still stands to a measure. If let's say I have two kids that are beating each other up, and one kid stops. Now, granted, he already got three punches in, but he didn't get the fourth punch in. He didn't get that fourth punch in. Right there says he did something that he stopped himself, he pulled himself back. That tells you that person deserves something extra. And the pasuk is giving a reward, an unbelievable reward. You're going to have children after this. That's the crazy concept. And what an unbelievable idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, the wording in the Gemara is mekafeach schar kol beria. He doesn't allow any creature, any person to lose out on the schar that they deserve. Granted, okay, you could have been better. Everybody could have been better. But she wasn't worse. That's the point. She wasn't worse. It is such a huge line to be able to learn from over here. The Tiferet Sonos from Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz says, there is no way she could be punished at all after drinking the water, since any punishment that happens to her, even if she just gets a headache, will automatically be attributed to the sota waters, that she had done something that was wrong and something's there. Therefore, she has to be completely clean. It has to be benixa, so to speak. But it's guaranteed, says Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz, that there is a punishment. If she did anything with this guy, even if she's clean, but if she did anything with this guy, she touched him, and she was over on Ichud, the children are punished. There is something that goes to the children. Now, if you say, why did the children deserve this? They don't deserve it. But at the end of the day, they are born from a woman who did something that's wrong. And in that sense, if they're going to be more susceptible to sin themselves. Says it's Tiferes Yonatan, you better watch out for those children. The children of a sota, even though there are children there, have to be very, very careful of what they're going to do because of what might happen to them, knowing what their parents did or what his mother did. That's a major, major issue, a source of dissent, whatever the word would be, right? That goes something over here. Now, Rashi says, V'tohorehi, she's tor, that means she is completely tor mimakom acher. Meaning, she has never been with a guy. She has never done something wrong and was together with a person when she was still married to her husband. It never happened, says Rashi. The Rachaim HaKadosh seems to argue a little bit further. He says it can't just be tahor, meaning you didn't have relations. It has to be more than that. She couldn't do anything with this guy. She can't have touched the guy. In order to receive the bracha of Benizra Zorah, in order to have children, she can't have done anything except Yichud, and that's it. If she touched the person, especially he calls Chibuk and Nishuk and anything of the like, anything that he calls Cheshek Hazulas, if he did anything else with her, if this woman was guilty of any of those other things, she is not considered Tahor. That is a major, major issue. A person has to watch out for that entirely. Yes, what's up?
This is where we learned Gilgul Shvuah, right?
Gilgul Shvuah is learned out from over here, yes. The concept of Gilgul Shvuah is that if I make her swear, do you swear that you weren't together with this guy? Can you swear that you weren't together with other guys as well? They do not make a Gilgul Shvuah on swear that you weren't together with her relations-wise, now swear that you weren't do anything else, right? That's not the Gilgul Shvuah. The Gilgul Shvuah is from this guy or from other guys. That's the Gilgul Shvuah, but they don't do anything more than that. Okay, so that's that. All of this is included in the statement. When she goes astray, so to speak, it's going to be something that's over here. That's all the concept of what it means to be Tahor. Tahor means, according to the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, completely Tahor of everything that's around over here. Now, there's a lot to talk about when it comes to this concept of trying to make her have a child. The Chizkuni says these waters have the ability to ruin the Beis HaRechem. Now, look, what's in these waters? You have water that comes from the Mayim Chaim. It's supposed to be pure water that comes from the ground. You have a little bit of dirt. You put dirt. You don't mix it in. You place the dirt on top so that it's seen on top of the water itself. So you have water, and you have the dirt standing on top. You don't make it into mud, but dirt on top itself. And then you also have a little bit of the shame. You have a piece of cloth that has the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu written in ink, and it's put inside, and the name is melted into the water itself. It's supposed to be bitter, but according to the Chizkuni, it's not only bitter. It ruins the Beis HaRechem. It goes into the womb and destroys the womb and should not allow her to ever have a child ever again. The bracha that she gets is that even though this should ruin her womb, she should never have a kid ever again. The bracha is she's still going to have a womb itself. She's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. It's like a new reality. It creates something new within her that from this point forward, she is beheter to her husband. She's going to be able to have a baby and she doesn't get ruined by it. Now, this is all based on a Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota, Daf Chav Vav, says that if she's found to be innocent, also in Brachos, if anybody's seen the Gemara in Brachos, I think it's around Lamed Gimel, that if she's found to be innocent, she's going to receive a special bracha. Rabbi Yishmael says, in some Gemaras it's the opposite, it's Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Yishmael says, if she had never been able to have a child, she's now going to have a child. That's the bracha that she's getting. Rabbi Akiva, some say Rabbi Yishmael, argues, no. Then every woman who hasn't had a child, what do you think they're going to do? If a woman can't have a kid after 5, 6, 7 years, after waiting for very long, if she knows that Sota waters make her get a child, what's she going to do? She's going to go into seclusion with a guy, come out, be innocent, and then have a child. So says Rabbi Akiva, that's not what's happening over here. Until now, if she had trouble giving birth and she had really, really hard labor, this time around she's going to have a much easier labor. Until now, she's had ugly children. Well, from now on, she's going to have beautiful children. Until now, she's had... the wording would be like not short children, but it doesn't mean short children. It means children that are messed up in their limbs. Now she's going to have children that are completely healthy without any issue. Until now, she was only able to give birth to girls. Now she's going to be able to even give birth to a boy. Right? And I guess it goes vice versa as well. She needed to have there needs to be puravu. Obviously, she's not going to be promised an actual baby. That's how they say it, because if it would, then she would just do it time after time after time again. But that's the idea. Rashi says that's the bracha over here. The past, she had a difficult time giving birth. Now, she's going to have an easier time. In the past, she gave birth to ugly babies. Now, she's going to give birth to beautiful babies. He goes with the second opinion, but not that you're going to have a brand new child. He doesn't promise that. Targum Yonason adds on a bracha, that if until now she was ugly and her husband didn't love her for her beauty, she was just a woman who was there, but she was extremely ugly, she will be made beautiful, and her husband will have a desire for her that will end up making over here, and that will make her pregnant with a baby boy. The Bala Turim says these words lead into the pasuk of Chaf Tes, where it says Zos Torah Haknaos, in which this is the law of those who suspected their wives, etc. The bracha is that if she's tahor, if she didn't do anything at all, her children will be tzaddikim and Balei Torah. Now, I want you to think about that. This is not mentioned in the Gemara itself, but an extra bracha. This Sota woman, who was suspected by her husband, in the end will end up having a child, and this child will be a Talmud Chacham, will be an awesome Talmud Chacham. He'll be able to sit and learn Torah, and will have tremendous things come from him. Says the Baal Turim, that's what's going to happen over here. Children that will be like Avram Avinu. There's a Medrash Lekach Tov that says something like this, but it doesn't come out from the Gemara itself. That's a promise that's given by the Baal Turim if this happens. We still haven't explained the why. Why is this so? Where does this come from? Yeah. So right there, son's asking a good question. Why wouldn't you say the exact same thing? Meaning, if we just said Rabbi Akiva's question to Rabbi Yishmael was, you can't say that she's all of a sudden going to give birth, because what's going to happen? She's going to go and do this Sota, and then all of a sudden she's going to give birth. So why can't she do this for everything else? She should go and make sure she has an easier birth. If a woman hasn't had baby boys yet, she really wants to have a baby boy, just become a Sota, and she's promised to have a baby boy. Right? Just go into seclusion with a guy and just automatically have whatever you need. Right? Again, even if it's not that you're going to have a baby, a barren woman will be able to have a baby, even if that's not the promise, do whatever you need to do in order for it to happen. Why wouldn't she do that? So there are some answers to that question. I think the obvious answer is right there. No woman can be assured that nothing bad is going to happen if she puts herself in seclusion with a guy for 7, 8 minutes. She goes up to her husband and says, you should suspect me with John over there. Make sure that I'm not together with John. So the husband says, fine, don't be together in a room with John. Then she puts herself in a room with John for 7, 8 minutes and then comes out. She's not guaranteed to be tahor. She's not guaranteed that everything's going to work out well, right? And that's one reason why you would never do it, because that's absolutely crazy. You would never do it, yeah. So it's usher to do that in the first place. Very good. It's an Isser D'oraisa to have yichud with a man. Why would she be over on an Isser D'oraisa for this in order to have a child, right? Now, again, if you're trying to have a child and you've never been able to have a kid before, maybe she'll find a heter for it. But to make the birth easier, or to have a more beautiful child, or to have, I don't know, a boy instead of a girl, why would she put herself in that situation when she doesn't need to? That would be crazy. Why would anybody do such a thing? That's something. Aside from that, it's not only the Isra of the Doraisa of Yichud. As a side note, by the way, Yichud is an Isra Doraisa according to our Psak. That means that a person cannot be in seclusion with a girl for 7-8 minutes. It is by far the smartest rule. I don't want to judge, but by far the smartest rule that Chazal have ever come up with. If you follow the laws of Yichud correctly, if you don't have a problem with all that, you will be guaranteed that you will not have this problem with any issue of Arias ever in your life. It's guaranteed. You'll never have an issue with this. It's the greatest law of all time. Of course, you can get into trouble when you fall prey to the issues of Yichud. Once you have the issue of Yichud, once you allow yourself to be miyached with a girl, then yes, what do you expect is going to happen? We're all human. That's what happens for the girl's side and from the guy's side. What do you expect to happen in that case? But if you follow the laws of Yichud, it's a guarantee you won't be able to have this situation. Because how are you going to have it? You're not going to be ever alone in a room with a girl. It's not going to happen. This type of thing won't happen. So there are ideas that, obviously, why would you allow that to happen? And also, why would you allow this, the name of the Sota woman to be there? Okay, so let's go on one thing over here. The Hafla in Sota, Rav Pinchas Mikoritz and Rav Moshe Katz, quoted by the Panini Kedem, says, no one would ever do this because the husband has the option to divorce her when he finds out that she did. He goes up to her and says, don't be in seclusion with that guy. And then she goes into seclusion with that guy. You're the husband. She just, forget about not listening to you. She's showing you, in front of you, in front of your face, that she's not going to listen to what you're telling her to do. And I know, okay, a husband doesn't rule the marriage, but there's no respect for a rule that one person gives to the other. If the guy would do this to the woman, it would be the exact same way. How dare you do this after I told you not to be near that woman? It would be the exact same type of thing. How in the world could that happen? What the husband might do right after that point is do what? What would he do? Divorce her on the spot and just give her a ksuva and say, get out of here. I don't want to see you ever again. Now, if he wants to make her as a sota woman, he'd have to say, I'm going to divorce you without a ksuva, or you can drink sota waters. But he could divorce her right then on the spot and just give her a ksuva and be done with it. That's easily done. So why isn't that done? The shot is that normally no woman would want that to happen. If she just wants a better looking baby, or a more beautiful baby, or like something that's going to be different within the baby itself, you'd never put yourself in that situation because your husband can divorce you. But if you're in a situation where you can't give birth to a girl, and you might get divorced anyway for that reason, you know what you might do? You might allow yourself to take the chance of doing the sota to have a baby because you might get divorced anyway. What difference does it make if I get divorced for not having a baby versus not getting divorced because of this issue? That's how the flaw looks at it, and that's another answer to be able to go through. The Chsam Sofer says no one would do this because the waters remain bitter even after she drinks it, and even after she did it, because of the Yichud. There's embarrassment, public embarrassment involved. She gets a curse to the Kohen. No one would do it for that reason. Not to have a more beautiful baby or to have an easier birth, you wouldn't do it. But again, people will do anything to have a baby for the first time. So if we're going with Rabbi Yishmael, people might do this. Rabbi Akiva, people might not do this. The Ramaz and the Minchas Kno say an unbelievable answer as to why they would only do it to have a new baby, but they wouldn't do it for any other reason. Sota waters don't just make her blow up. It makes the boyfriend blow up as well. Meaning, if she was together with that guy in seclusion, then she drinks the sota water and she blows up. Her stomach blows up and the leg falls off, etc. The exact same thing happens to the boyfriend wherever he is. He could be just walking around, and then all of a sudden his stomach blows up and he falls down to the ground and he's dead. Just what happens to the sota woman is the exact same thing that happens to him himself. It's crazy, but it happens to him wherever it is. We know there's a concept, mida tova is meruba mi mida sopranius. Good things are much better than bad things. When good things have to happen, it's much better than what would happen if a person is being punished, which means the following. If she's zocha to have a baby, then you know what will happen? The boyfriend will be zocha to have a baby as well. So now think about this for a second. The woman is going to put herself in seclusion in order to have a baby, right? What guy is going to agree to this? What guy is going to say, yeah, I'll go with you? Why would a guy agree to that and say, I'm willing to do this? Isn't that dumb? He's over on the Isser D'Oraisa of Yichud. For what? He's not gaining anything from this at all. The woman at least is trying to get a baby. But the guy, why would he do it? The answer is, if the woman gets a baby, then what happens to the guy? The guy also gets to have a baby. He's not going to give birth to a baby. But he'll have a baby with his wife. If the guy, for whatever reason, has not been able to have a baby, so he'll allow himself to go into Yichud with the Sota woman, said just like the Sota woman will end up having a baby, he will also get to have a baby. He'll do that in order to have a baby. He won't do it in order to have a more beautiful baby. He won't be over on the Isra of Yichud in order to have that. That's the concept there. There are other answers that are given, but this is the basic idea. There is a woman who tried using Sota waters as an excuse to have a baby. Who is that woman who said out loud, I want to have a baby, therefore God, I'm going to put myself, I'm going to make myself a Sota, and I'm going to have a baby. Who's the woman? No. Chana. Chana, the father, the mother of Shmuel. Chana, I mean, except for the fact that it's on your sheet, so you could have cheated yourself. I'm assuming, Michael, you didn't cheat. I'm assuming you did. Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. Chana, 100%, should have been involved. She used this as a tiny to Hashem. She said, Hashem, if you give me a baby, awesome. And if you don't give me a baby, then I'm going to become a Sota woman, and I'm going to force you to have a baby. I'm going to force you to make me have a baby. It's either one. You get to decide, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You tell me what's the best thing over here. I'm going to go and I'm going to be Mistatar in front of Elkanah Bailey, in front of Elkanah, my husband, so that you'll have to give me a baby. Listen to this tiny bit. The Beis Halevi says, that's why he says, Vatispalo al Hashem. She davened on Hashem, which sounds harsh. Instead of El Hashem, which is to Hashem, she davened on Hashem, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want this to happen. If I become a Sota woman, that means your name is going to be erased in the water. I don't want to erase your name, but Tispalo, so she davened al Hashem, on Hashem's name, and said, Hashem, don't force me to become a Sota woman, in which I'm going to have to erase the name on top of the water. Don't let that happen. That's how the Beis Halevi understands it. The Kerem Nata says, how is this Shaykh? She was going to erase it, and this is Chana. This is a tremendous tzadekes. She was going to erase God's name in order to have this baby? Was she really going to do this? So, yeah. The Gemara says, you're allowed to erase God's name to make peace between a man and a woman. If you're allowed to erase God's name to make peace between a man and a woman, then you can make peace between a man and a woman who haven't had a child yet by doing this. See, if the man and the woman are arguing with each other because they can't have a baby and they're not sure what to do and things are not going well in their marriage, then in order to make sure they have a baby, you can do Sota. I bet you're erasing Hashem's name. Hashem's name is allowed to be erased to make shalom between the husband and the wife. Therefore, you're okay with being able to do this. But she's still over on Yichud. Chana would be over on Yichud in order to have a baby. Chana is going to be over on an Isser Del Raisa in order to have a baby. How is that possible? The answer is, we keep thinking that Yichud is with somebody that's Usser. She could have Yichud with somebody that she's related to. How about this? A woman goes up to her husband and says, I'd like you to be Makana me, in other words, suspect me of being together with my father. Now, a father and a daughter are fine for Yichud. No issue with Yichud. They can be in the same room together. They can be in the same house together. There's no issue with that whatsoever. A father and a daughter, right? Obviously, they can't have relations with one another, but they can be in the same house. There's no issue of Yichud. If the husband of the wife says to his wife, says, I don't want you in a room secluded with your father. If he says that to her, and then she goes into a house and she closes the door on her and her father for 7 minutes. Now, there's no worries there that something's going to happen. We assume the father and the daughter are not going to be together. In that case, it's mutter, but she does become a sota. So that's a way of getting around it in a mutter fashion. There's no problem with that whatsoever. You want to be able to have yichud in a fashion that's mutter, Karamata suggests it's possible with a relative that it's mutter to be together with. Now, we've said up until now, maybe she'll do this in order to have a baby. But here's another one. Let's say the husband is mekana her with her son. He says to his wife, I don't want you to be together in the same room as our son. And then she's together in the same room with her son. Is there an issur of yichud with your son? A mother and a son? No issue whatsoever. Of course, a mother can be in the same room as her son. But if the father, meaning the husband, is mekane her on it, then all of a sudden she can't be in the same room. If she is, then she becomes a sota. That's how she would, so to speak, force herself to become a sota and to allow this to happen, in this case, because if it's a child, right, to have a more beautiful baby or something like that. But nonetheless, that's the concept of what happens and what could happen if a person gets involved in this. Okay. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says in Parshas Vayera, this did happen once. I know we don't like thinking about this, but it is a crazy, crazy concept. Sarimenu was taken not once, but twice by kings in their respective lands. Sarai Aminu was extremely beautiful, says the Gemara. Very, very beautiful. And she was taken not only by Paro in Mitzrayim, but also by Avimelech. When Sarai Aminu was 89 years old, she looked still very, very young. She looked beautiful. And at the age of 89, Avimelech took Sarai Aminu and brought her to his bedroom. There was yichud between Avimelech and Sarai Aminu. Now we all know, Sarai Aminu didn't touch Paro. Sarai Aminu didn't touch Avimelech. But in a way, this is almost like a Sota woman. She was in yichud together with a person, and she came out innocent. 9 months later, according to the Medrash, Sarai Aminu gave birth to a baby boy, obviously through Avram Avinu, not through Avimelech, but 9 months later. Meaning, there's a woman who went into seclusion with a guy. She was suspected of being together with Avimelech, and she came out and she was innocent, and she ended up having a baby. There's an actual case, almost like the real case of Sota, in which it happened and it all worked out well and everything was perfectly fine. This case happened, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. There was no offer of the Mizbeach. There was no water that they took from the Beis HaMikdash to be able to give her to drink. But the concept is there. The idea is there. The Dego Machna Ephraim explains how the Sota waters, because Avram Avinu was such an Anav, and the dirt underneath the Mizbeach could be referring to Avram Avinu himself. But the concept, conceptually, this is what it refers to over here. It's unbelievable, this idea that it did sort of happen, and it did sort of happen to Sarai Aminu in order to have a baby. But now we're going to get to the real solution behind it. I can't tell you that I fully understand Rav Hirsch because it's Rav Hirsch. Rav Shamshon Paul Hirsch wrote beautifully, but it's somewhat cryptic in how he tries to understand it. But we're going to go through what Sota means. And to understand that, I think it'll explain why a person's able to have a baby in this way. Rav Hirsch explains, the woman that's given water to drink is specifically the water comes from the kior. The kior was the sink in which the Kohanim used to wash their hands and feet in order to the avoda on the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim would bend down, stand on the back of their ankle, the back of their feet, put their hands and feet together, and they would be washed. The water would be washed on their hands and feet to sanctify them, to get them ready to serve in the Beis HaMikdash itself. They take this water from the kior, and they served it, they gave it as the Sota waters. They took that water itself. Okay, now the kior, what was that made out of? The sink itself was made out of mirrors. Who brought those mirrors? The woman. The woman, when they left Mitzrayim, brought their mirrors to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, use this for a holy purpose. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to take them. These mirrors, which were used for a Yetzer Hara, for Taiva, to make themselves look more beautiful, I'm going to bring this to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan. I'm going to use this as something holy. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, accept them. They're the most beautiful things I have. Because these women tried so hard to make themselves beautiful for their husbands so they would have children in Mitzrayim. That's something that I want. And the kior came from there. You take water from the donated kior that was given by the holy woman themselves. You take water from there specifically. And you take dirt from the ground by the Mizbeach. And you keep it visible on top of the water. You cannot mix it in. As we said before, it can't be mud. It has to be water with dirt appearing on the top right over there. The idea is that a woman's body composed of dirt of the earth, as we all are from Adam, we're Adam, Adama, we come from dirt of the earth, was given the gift of motherhood as well as the urges necessary, the physical needs necessary to allow for a baby to be born. That obviously it includes a little bit of the Yetzer Hara that's necessary for this to happen. But everything that's necessary physically is referred to by the dirt of the earth. But you can't just have this act be a piece of dirt. It can't just be a physical act. There has to be a spiritual component to it as well. There has to be water involved. Water representing something that's holy. Mayim Kedoshim from the Kior. Showing the holy thoughts of the woman when they donated the Kior to the Mishkan itself. There has to be something holy inside there. And not only that, the first thing that's put inside the cup that she drinks from is the water, and then they put the dirt on top. If you would put the dirt in first and then pour in the water, it's puzzle. You got to start all over again. It's water first, because the first thought process that a person should have when going into the process of having a baby should be all about the Kedusha aspect, and then there's the physical aspect where you sprinkle the dirt on top. Yes, there is the physical aspect, but the spiritual aspect has to be the stronger one, the one on the bottom, the one that comes in first, and then a person goes involved. The problem with so many things in this world is that when it comes to taiva, people are attached to the physical. They forget there's a ruchnius component to that. That the way that other religions look at it is that this act is so disgusting, so physically trying, that there's no spirituality in this. How can you bring ruchnius into this act? There's no way. It's a purely physical act, and therefore their priests, their leaders, are not allowed to be doing this type of a thing. This is a sin. It's a horrible sin. It's a sin, and therefore you need to be celibate. You have to stay away from it in order to be pure and holy. We say no. You can do this act, but make sure that there's holiness and purity in it. Fill it up with water, the Mayim Kedoshim first, from the Kiyor specifically. Then put on the dirt. Then add on the physical aspect to it. And if you're doing that well, you have a moral purity that comes together with the act. You're a pure moral person. Then everything comes out perfect and you don't have to worry about anything at all. And that's what she's given to drink. The Kohanim use the Kiyor to prepare themselves for the avoda, says Rav Hirsch. To prepare themselves to do what they need to do with korbanos and to bring korbanos and do everything like that. So to this woman, she's part of this. This is part of her avoda. One aspect to her great avoda in this world is having a baby, which no man has the ability to do. This is part of her service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to have a child. Just like the Kohen has to wash his hands and feet to get himself ready for the Avodah, she has to think of the Kedusha aspect of what she's doing and what she's allowed to do, what she's been given, in order to see her part in this universe, what she's supposed to do. She herself is a Kohen, so to speak. She's a full Kohen, and her Avodah here is to become pregnant. She has other avodas in this world, but this is her avoda at this moment. Having this baby, raising the baby to the best that it can be, something that no man can do. Something that only she has the aspect of it. She takes this water from the cure of the Kahanim. She takes it to awaken her to the fact. She sees it and she says, you're right. How did I mess this up until now? Why did I think that it was a physical act? In which I could think I could be in a room secluded with another guy and think that it's all about the physical, about a taiva involved. It shouldn't have been. It should have been all about the purity, about awakening myself, about preparing myself properly. So she, all of this, the drinking, the bringing the korban mincha, the waving, the uncovering of her body and hair, are all regarding these aspects and how to treat it properly. So then she drinks the water. If she's guilty, then the holy water is gone. You're left with the dirt, the physicality. And she literally, it becomes almost like a bomb in her system. The Kedusha of that water, which is so holy, that she is drinking that water in, and she's a person filled with Tumah. If she did something wrong, the holy water entering her Tumah body will literally cause it to erupt. She's going to be literally a bomb that just blows up completely. She's going to die for the moral code that she did not treat properly. You didn't do this in the right way. But if she's innocent... If she's innocent, that means she used the dirt properly with the water. She did what she was supposed to do. She might have had a little bit of a setback, but she did everything morally pure and she doesn't have to worry about that sense. And in that, because of that, the water, the holy water within her becomes a little bit of greatness. That holy water stays inside her system, allows her to give birth to a child, increasing the dirt force and the ground of the Mishkan force, allowing those to become stronger within her, and the holiness within her, along with the little bit of physicality that she was maybe missing. She couldn't have a baby up until now, but all of a sudden she gets something that's allowed, a holiness of the Beis Hamikdash, a little bit of dirt from the Beis Hamikdash itself. All of a sudden, she ends up having a baby. That's the concept. Conceptually, it's an unbelievable reverse. Whether she's treating it properly or treating it improperly, that's the result of what happens to her later on at the time. I'm going to end with this, but that reverse just, it's mind-boggling how it works. Rav Chaim asked in Tami Dekrov, do you make a bracha on this water? Does the girl, before she drinks it, does she make a bracha on the water itself? So, because the water tasted very bitter, right, there was a bitter taste to it, so you'd assume you don't make a bracha on things that are very bitter. If you know you're drinking something that's disgusting, like turpentine, you don't make a bracha on that. There's no bracha to make on something that's absolutely disgusting. So you wouldn't make anything whatsoever. If she's tameh, Well, there's not much you can do. If she knows she's Tameh, she knows whether she did or not. So making a bracha on the water would absolutely be usher, because she knows this is not a mitzvah to make herself innocent. It, clearly, that's something bad. You wouldn't make a bracha on something in Onesh. It's the reason why you don't make a bracha on Dalad Mises Beis Din. Doing Dalad Mises Beis Din is a mitzvah sase midioraisa. But you don't make a bracha before you kill somebody on the Dalad Mises Beis Din, because you don't make a bracha on something that's an Onesh, so you wouldn't do that over here. Even if she knows she's innocent, we can't allow her to make a bracha because it all happened through an avera. It all happened because she had yichud with a guy. So there's no way to get around that. So therefore, it seems, says Rechaim Kanievsky, you would not make a bracha on it. I think we can add on a fourth aspect. According to this idea from Rav Hirsch, if we're saying this correctly, if the way we're saying Rav Hirsch is completely right, then we have a tremendous idea to add on over here. Rav Hirsch is saying that the whole concept of what the water and the dirt stood for was to be able to bring a little bit of holiness inside her. Typically speaking, when you make a bracha on food or drink, you're trying to raise it, elevate the food to a higher level. You're taking the food that you have in front of you and you're making it more kadosh. You're allowing something that's just physical to become spiritual. Well, that happens by regular food, because how else do you make chalent spiritual? You can't do it otherwise. If the water of the sota water is already holy, and it's holy water together with holy dirt that you're putting together and you're drinking, so to speak, you're taking that, there's no bracha to make. You can't elevate that any further. It's automatically kadosh. Something that's automatically kadosh, you wouldn't make a bracha on. There's nothing to do when it comes to this. Now, there's a bit of a kasha on that, because you do make brachos on korbanos, but it could be that bracha on korbanos is just asher kedishanu b'sav zivanu al achilas, whatever it is, shlamim, chatas, asham, whatever it is that you're eating. Whether you make the actual shahakol, I don't know if a person actually would make it. This concept would be the same, I think, for what Rav Hirsch is saying. Yeah. Yeah. You can make it after she dies. You make a regular bracha of dinamis. You can't make it beforehand because you don't know what's going to happen. If you knew it beforehand, then you'd be able to tell. But up until that point, you don't know what's going to happen. If she knows she's going to die, she knows she's innocent. So for sure not a bracha dinamis. She would be able. No, you would make it. You would make a tova metiv. Tova metiv. But she can't say that because she doesn't know anything yet. Maybe after she drinks it and she knows now she's going to get pregnant, maybe she can make a bracha of a tova metiv. But I don't think so, because she doesn't know she's pregnant. She's going to have to wait and see what ends up happening with it. So what do we say, everybody? What we said over here was, we said an unbelievable chiddush over here. We didn't understand exactly how this goes. We said there still was an isser here, but it tells you the power of either busha or being ashamed or anything else that happens. Remember, the fact that you didn't go too far and the tferes zonas on, that was the first part. We went into the concept of tahor according to the Orach Chaim HaKadosh and what it said. We mentioned the Gemara in Sota of the brachos that she ends up getting, as well as Rashi, Targum Yonasan, and everything like that. We asked them the line of reasoning of Rabbi Yishmael according to this idea of Tosus asked the Kasha, and we answered in a couple ways with the Hafla, the Chassam Sofer, Torah Tamima, the Ramaz, etc. We brought up the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Aleph with Chana, with what she did, as well as Sari Menu, and how she was able to get around this, and why Yichud might have been mutter for them, because they did something that was possibly mutter. We explained Rav Hirsch to know why this could have happened in this specific fashion. And finally, Rav Chaim, is there a bracha to make on this water or not? Shkoyach, everybody. We'll stop with this. And obviously, Marav is right now.